Okay. Sure. So I think we'll skip the Jai Radha Madhava, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so shall we begin then? So the devotees. Okay. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I'm very happy to be with all the devotees from Bangalore ICC temple, and also I believe other devotees are joining in on other platforms. So I'm happy to be with you at this time when everything is under lockdown and all of us are either in our ashrams or in our homes, and we're unable to go for our regular activities outside. So a devotee always looks to see how adversity can be turned into opportunity, how perceived or apparent negativity can be turned into something positive. So this is definitely a great problem that we are facing in the world today. There is so much anxiety, so much suffering, so much of loss in every respect, an enormous challenge that the whole world is facing, the likes of which perhaps in our generation we have not seen. This whole thing has brought the world practically to its knees, even the most so-called developed countries are under so much trouble now. Now, at the same time, there is a proverb in English that every cloud has a silver lining, which means that every difficult situation will have some opportunity for doing something good, for making some good progress. And for us, we are concerned about our spiritual progress primarily, our progress in Krishna consciousness. So I think all the devotees everywhere are now utilizing this time to chant more, to hear more, to read more, to do more service, and also in a sense to bond with other devotees and to also bond with their own family members or the other residents of the ashram and so on. So in pursuance of this idea, in practically every temple of ISKCON worldwide, we have these online lectures and so on. So in the course of this, I'm happy to be with all of you in Bangalore. I trust that all of you are keeping safe and healthy, and that you are all in cheerful Krishna conscious spirits. Now, I have been giving such lectures to other temples and other groups of devotees as well. And so I have been speaking on different topics. One of the topics that I started last time with another group from London was the Hasya Rasa. So I will continue on from there to the next rasa, which is Adbhuta Rasa. But before I do that, just a brief background, especially for those of you who did not hear that previous lecture, and most of the Bangalore devotees were not there. So let me give a 5-minute background to this whole topic. Now, as you all know, there are relationships in this world, and no one can live without relationships. Even if somebody is all alone, still he or she will have some relationship in a neutral rasa with some computer, with some machines, with the world, with nature. So relationships are a part of our life which we cannot do without. And these relationships are categorized primarily into 5 groups, as we all know very well. Shanta, which is the mellow of neutrality. Dasya, the mellow of servitude. Sakya, the mellow of friendship. Matsalya, the mellow of parental affection. And Madhurya, the mellow of conjugal love. So these are the 5 primary rasas or kinds of mellows that exist in relationships, or you could say the different categories of relationships that exist in the material world. Now you also know from Bhagavad Gita chapter 15 and especially from Srila Prabhupada's super excellent purport to this verse that this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Yes? Urdhvamulam adhar shakam ashvattham prahur avyayam. So the first verse of the 15th chapter starts off like this by explaining this very unique banyan tree, Ashwatha tree, which has its roots, urdhva mulam, the mula, the roots are upwards, urdhva. And the shakha is, you know, the branches are below. So this is a very unusual tree, and this kind of a tree is seen on the reflection on a bank of a river or a pond or something like that. So Srila Prabhupada explains that everything that exists in this material world can therefore be understood to also exist in the spiritual world. But the difference is that in the spiritual world, these varieties, these categories exist in purity, in perfection, in complete reality. Whereas these categories and phenomena in the material world are basically perverted forms, or they are reflections of those original varieties and categories. Just like when you see a tree being reflected in water, you are seeing the actual tree. You are seeing the leaves, the branches, the fruits, the flowers, the trunk. You are seeing everything. But if you try to grab the fruit or the flower off that tree in the water, then you won't get it because it's not reality, it's only a reflection. So similarly, even though these categories exist here in the material world, because they are in reflected form, in perverted form, they cannot really give us happiness. But nonetheless, these categories exist here, and in their pure form, they exist in connection with Krishna in the spiritual world. Now, apart from these 5 categories, which are primary categories, which is called the Mukhya Rati or Mukhya Rasa, there are 7 other Gauna rasas. Gauna means secondary. So these secondary rasas are those that come and go. Every jiva is situated in a particular mukhya rasa. maybe Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, whichever it may be. So once the jiva is fixed in that, then that jiva relishes that particular primary rasa in relationship with Krishna. So that doesn't change for that jiva. However, even for that jiva, the secondary rasas will come and go. So these seven secondary rasas are there in transitory form, which means that they are sometimes present according to the need, according to the context or the circumstances. They come there for a short time and then they go. And perhaps after some time, another one of those secondary rasas comes, stays for some time and goes. Maybe then yet another secondary rasa comes and goes. So what is the purpose of these secondary rasas? They essentially nourish the sweetness of the primary rasas. They make it more relishable. They lend it even more transcendental variety. So the devotees of Krishna in the spiritual world also experience not only the particular primary rasa that they are placed in, but also they relish from time to time different secondary rasas. So what are the secondary rasas? You have all heard of them. So the first one that Srila Rupa Goswami describes is called Hasya Rasa, the mellow of comedy or humor or laughter. The second is called Adbhuta Rasa. Adbhuta Rasa, which is what we're going to speak about today briefly from Nectar of Devotion, is basically the rasa that comes when there is astonishment at seeing something connected to Krishna. Now when we talk of these rasas, we're only going to talk of the pure, real rasas in the spiritual world, not the perverted forms here. Then there is a Veera Rasa, the rasa of chivalry. When Krishna engages in battle, when he is experiencing that happiness, that rasa, that taste of fighting. And sometimes the devotees also engage Krishna in such rasas. Like Bhishma Dev was shooting arrows at Krishna and Arjuna, and Krishna was also relishing the Veer Rasa. Then there is Karuna, the mellow of compassion or kindness, of mercy. Then there is Raudra. Raudra means anger. So sometimes Krishna would also display this anger, especially on the battlefield or even at other times. Then there is Bhayanaka. There's something fearful, dreadful. And then Bibhatsa. Bibhatsa is something ghastly. So these are the seven rasas, secondary rasas, which embellish, which sweeten further and lend further variety to the primary rasas. So last time I was discussing the Hasya Rasa from the Nectar of Devotion, and I was mentioning certain humorous pastimes that are described there by Srila Rupa Goswami. So today, briefly, I would like to describe the next Gauna Rasa, which is the Adbhuta Rasa. Now generally, when devotees study the Bhakti Shastri course, we study only the first section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. And generally we don't cover the subsequent portions. And this chapter has been covered by Srila Prabhupada in chapter 46 of the Nectar of Devotion. So since we generally don't talk about it, and since the matter is so nice and nectarian, I thought it's appropriate, especially in this time of lockdown, to hear about these wonderful pastimes, so that not only we would be relieved of anxiety and fear and all these negative things, but also it will give us more transcendental happiness and increase our taste in Krishna consciousness. So this Adbhuta Rasa is based upon the experience of Vismaya. Vismaya means, you know, a sense of wonder or astonishment of perplexity, bewilderment upon seeing something really wonderful. So then the Gaunda rasa, Adbhuta rasa, is based upon this sensation or this feeling of vismaya, when you see something extraordinary. So Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that this feeling of vismaya or the Adbhuta, this most extraordinary phenomena that strikes a sense, brings about a sense of wonder in one's heart, of astonishment in the heart, are based upon the superhuman activities of Krishna. Now, Rupa Goswami refers to these activities as lokottara karmataha. Lokottara, loka uttara. It describes, it indicates activities, or karmataha indicates activities, and lokottara means something that is uncommon, that is excellent, that is usually not possible for ordinary people. So lokottara karmataha indicates the superhuman activities that are performed by Krishna. So these superhuman activities generally have different effects on different people. Now, this is also very important, that the devotees who live in Vrindavan, the Brajavasis, are in a different category than those in other places, including Mathura, Dwarka, Vaikuntha. Although all these are pure devotees, nevertheless, there is a difference in the bhava, the mood, because the love of the residents of Vrindavan is imbued with a certain extreme degree of intimacy and familiarity and sweetness. Whereas the love of the devotees in Mathura, Dwarka and Vaikuntha is definitely sweet also, because it is pure devotion, so naturally it is sweet. But it is not as sweet as the love of the devotees in Vrindavan. And this love in Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha, is sometimes weakened by a mood of awe and reverence that sometimes creeps in. This mood of awe and reverence sometimes or often comes about in the hearts of these devotees when they see Krishna performing something really superhuman. At normal times, these devotees have a sweet relationship with Krishna. At a very personal level, considering him to be their friend or their son or nephew or whatever. But when that same Krishna performs some activity that is truly exceptional, then their feeling of intimacy gets somewhat weakened and compromised. Let me give a simple example. When Krishna came to Mathura after leaving Vrindavan, and he killed Kamsa and Chanura, and together with Balaram they killed Chanura, Mushtika and Kuvalya, Pida, etc., etc. So Mother Devaki and Vasudev, the father and mother of Krishna, they became wonderstruck. And even though earlier they were thinking of Krishna as their son, but after seeing Krishna displaying such superhuman power when he killed Kamsa and other powerful wrestlers, they immediately started thinking, oh, this is not our son. This is God. And the moment they began to think like that, Krishna was unhappy, because he wanted Devaki and Vasudev to think about him as their dear helpless child. But because that so-called dear helpless child was now displaying such extraordinary power, Devaki and Vasudev's pure, simple Vatsalya Bhav had become weakened, had become compromised. So Krishna immediately had their eyes covered over with yoga maya once again, so that they could think of Krishna as their child, and they would not worry so much about how he is God. So that Vatsalya Bhava was interfered with when Devaki and Vasudev saw the power, this extraordinary power of Krishna. Similarly, in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we won't go into detail in these things, but in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna displays the universal form, we see a similar thing happening to Arjuna, where he rues or regrets the familiarity that he has expressed to Krishna in the past. So, because now he's seeing Krishna displaying his opulence and his great power as a source of everything. So his sakya rasa, his sakya bhava, his feeling of intimate friendship with Krishna, which was flourishing at other times, now suddenly became compromised. So we see that for residents outside of Vrindavan, often a display of extraordinary power, lokottara karmataha, it certainly is there, deepens their love for Krishna, yes, but it compromises the sweetness and intimacy of their rasa with Krishna. Whereas this does not happen in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, when the devotees see Krishna performing some extraordinarily powerful or opulent activities, they certainly are struck with wonder. And sometimes they are bewildered or perplexed. And in their perplexity, they start talking amongst each other. Sometimes they approach Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj for clarification as to what they should make out of this whole apparent contradiction. So, even though the sense of wonder is evoked in their hearts, the Adbhuta Rasa manifests in their heart, but this Adbhuta Rasa that comes out of the Lokottara Karmataha, out of the superhuman activities of Krishna, they only serve to sweeten their particular individual rasas with Krishna even more. Not only does it deepen their love for Krishna, not only does it increase their prema for Krishna, it also sweetens that whatever the mukhya rasa in which they are in. The elder gopis are in the Vatsalya Bhava, the cowherd boys are in the Sakya rasa, etc., etc. So this is an important point to be made here. And furthermore, Rupa Goswami mentions that there are two kinds of lokottara karmataha or superhuman activities. Depending on how they are perceived. He says the first category of superhuman activities performed by Krishna are called those that are directly perceived. It's called sakshat. So, directly perceived means you either perceive it directly through your eyes by sight, you perceive it through the ears by hearing it, or you perceive that adbhuta rasa by your mouth by speaking about it, or even through any other sense of the body. So, according to the different ways through which this superhuman activities of Krishna are perceived, they are called that type of adbhuta rasa. So those superhuman activities of Krishna that are perceived by hearing, by speaking about, or by directly perceiving through the senses, they invoke or evoke rather the sakshat adbhuta rasa. So the sense of wonder, but it is called sakshat because that wonder is directly perceived by the devotee's consent. So Srila Rupa Goswami gives us examples of each of these. We'll talk about the other category later. Now it's only the one that is directly perceived by the devotees. The first one is directly perceived through the eyes, that is by seeing. And Srila Rupa Goswami gives the example of Narad Muni visiting Dwarka. Now we have all heard this pastime. One time Narad Muni visited Dwarka when Krishna was living there with his 16,108 queens. And he was completely astonished to find that Krishna was sitting simultaneously in each palace with a different queen. So there were 16,108 palaces. In each palace there was a different queen, and Krishna was present at the same time with each and every queen. And not only that, with each queen he was performing different activities. In one place he was sitting with one queen and giving in charity to the brahmanas. In another palace he was sitting and playing chess with his queen. In another palace he was with another queen playing with the children. So in that way Krishna was engaged in different activities simultaneously in all these different palaces. So this is also described in Krishna book, I'm sure you've read it. So let me read out what Prabhupada says here. He says, when Narada came to see the activities of the Lord at Dwarka, and he saw that Krishna was present within every palace in the same body and was engaged in different activities, he was struck with wonder. This is one of the examples of astonishment in devotional service by direct perception. So when Narada was seeing this, why was he struck with wonder? Is Narada not a yogi himself? Yes, definitely he is. He is a great devotee, an associate of the Lord, and he also has extraordinary yogic powers by which he can travel anywhere he likes throughout the universe. So he is the first transcendental spaceman, an astronaut. But he doesn't need astronaut suits and space vehicles to travel. He does so just of his own accord in his own body. So Narad Muni himself has all sorts of yogic powers. And he understands also that one of the yogic powers that yogis have is that they can expand themselves. And they can do so perhaps into 8 or sometimes 9 forms. But there is a catch here, that when the yogis expand themselves into these 8 or 9 forms, each form does exactly the same thing as the original. It can't do a different activity. Something like what you see in front of a television, or let's say some of you are watching me on your Zoom or your Facebook. Now I am sitting here, so I am the original person whom all of you are watching. Now if I raise my finger, then each of you are seeing on your screen that I am raising my finger. You will not see that in one screen somebody is seeing that I am raising my finger, and in another screen somebody sees something else, me doing something else. No. So similarly, when the yogis expand themselves into 8 or 9 forms, each form can only do exactly what the original is doing, cannot do anything different. But here in Dwarka, Krishna not only expanded himself into many more than 9 forms, into 16,000 plus forms, but also in each and every palace he was doing something completely different. It was not identical to what the other forms were doing. So being an accomplished yogi himself, when Narad Muni saw this extraordinary display of yogic power from Krishna, he was struck with wonder. You see, because Krishna is unlimited, therefore there is no limit to the superhuman activities that Krishna can perform. And therefore there is no limit to the kind of wonder that Krishna can evoke in the hearts of his pure devotees. So therefore Narad Muni, just by looking at this as he went everywhere into each palace, Krishna welcomed him very warmly with sweet words, made him sit down, offered him great respect. And in each palace, he welcomed him as if he had not seen him before for a long time. Whereas the fact is that Narad Muni was going from one palace to the next and the next and the next and the next. So it was the same Krishna who had expanded himself, but each time Krishna acted as if he had not seen Narad Muni in the previous palace, because here he was with one queen doing something different. And Krishna welcomed Narad Muni, washed his feet, worshipped him, spoke sweet words, and so on and so forth. And Narad Muni was just stunned, speechless. And he couldn't speak anything. He just gazed with wonder at the way Krishna's dealings were so sweet and so extraordinary. So this is an example. So this is an example of Sakshat Adbhuta Rasa, which is experienced by devotees by seeing Krishna's extraordinary activities, the Lokottara Karmataha. A second example that Srila Rupa Goswami gives regarding Sakshat Adbhuta Rasa that is evoked by seeing is that one time when Krishna had lifted the Govardhan hill and all the Brajavasis had gathered under the Govardhan hill, and this went on for 7 days and seven nights continuously, as Krishna stood there looking very dashing and debonair, crossing his legs and very effortlessly holding up Govardhan hill on the little finger of his left hand, pleasantly smiling and casting affectionate glances to all the Brajabasis. At that time, varied emotions were experienced by the different Brajabasis who were under the Govardhan hill in the proximity of Krishna. So that was, of course, a most extraordinary display of superhuman power. And that too for a small boy, a cowherd boy of only 7 years of age. So when the Vrajabasi saw this, they were struck with wonder. So the instance that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions here is that the gopis, older gopis, they went to Mother Yashoda and they said, "What kind of a boy is this? We are not able to understand. Here we are approaching him. He's still smelling of milk. And he runs to you to for milk and so on. But on the other hand, we see that he has lifted this mighty mountain. So what kind of magic is this? We fail to understand this." So they were unable to reconcile these two apparently contradictory features in Krishna's personality and behavior. On one hand, he seemed just like a charming young cowherd boy, and who was dependent on his parents and who was acting just like any other boy would do of his age. And on the other hand, here Krishna was displaying such extraordinary power that is not possible even for the strongest human being to lift a mountain like that. And he was doing it with effortless ease. So naturally this was extremely bewildering and perplexing to the Vrajavasis. So here, the older gopis were actually seeing Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, and they had seen Krishna behaving like an ordinary boy. So because of this, the sense of Adbhuta Rasa was evoked in their hearts. And that further intensified and sweetened their love for Krishna. So these are the two examples that Rupa Goswami gives for Sakshat Adbhuta Rasa that is evoked by seeing the superhuman activities of Krishna. The next is Sakshat Adbhuta Rasa that is evoked by hearing about Krishna. When Shukadev Goswami was speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, at that time he came to the episode or the pastime where Krishna confronted Narakasura. You are all aware of this pastime of Krishna killing Narakasura or Bhaumasura. Now, he was also called Bhaumasura because he was a son of Bhumi. And actually, he was the Lord's own son. When the Lord appeared as Varahadev and he lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe, he placed Mother Earth upon his tusk. And when he did so, she was impregnated and she gave birth to this child. And because she is known as Bhumi, Mother Earth, her son was Bhauma. But somehow or the other, by bad association and for whatever reasons, he had asuric tendencies. Just imagine, the son of a great devotee like Mother Earth and the son of the Lord himself, so became an asura. So he was called Bhaumasura, also called Narakasura. So when Krishna went there to rescue many princesses who had been held captive there by this Narakasura, he engaged in a fierce battle with him. So I will read out here what Srila Prabhupada describes it in the Nectar of Devotion. When Maharaj Parikshit heard from Shukadev Goswami about Krishna's killing Narakasura, who had been fighting Krishna with 11 Akshauhini divisions of soldiers. Each division of Akshauhini soldiers contained several thousand elephants, several thousand horses and chariots, and several hundreds of thousands of infantry soldiers. Narakasura possessed 11 such divisions, and all of them were throwing arrows towards Krishna. But Krishna killed them all simply by throwing 3 arrows from his side. When Parikshit Maharaj heard of this wonderful victory, he immediately rubbed the tears from his eyes and became overwhelmed with joy. This instance is an example of astonishment in devotional service. So, what is astonishing about this? Narakasura himself was very powerful. So even Krishna killing this one powerful asura was astonishing enough. But not only did Krishna kill Narakasura, he killed his entire army of 11 Akshauhini divisions. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, each Akshauhini divisions consists of thousands of elephants, horses, chariots, and hundreds of thousands of infantry soldiers. And Krishna killed them all. And what is even more astonishing is that Krishna did so with only 3 arrows. Right? Something so extraordinary. So no wonder that Parikshit Maharaj was struck with wonder like this. And in fact, as Prabhupada mentions here, there were tears of ecstasy that rolled from his eyes because Parikshit Maharaj was overwhelmed with joy. And then, the next example of Sakshat Adbhuta Rasa directly perceived superhuman activities of Krishna, which give rise to the Adbhuta Rasa, is by speaking. You see, we've all again heard of the Brahma Vimohana Leela, the pastime in which Brahma tried to bewilder Krishna, but he himself was bewildered. This pastime appears in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And after he was bewildered, then in the 14th chapter, Brahma offered many wonderful prayers. So after that was done, Brahma, who went back to Satyaloka, which is his planet, began to narrate what had happened to the residents of Satyaloka. And let's read what Prabhupada says here. Trying to test Krishna to see if he were truly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma stole all the cowherd boys and cows from him. But after a few seconds, he saw that Krishna was still present with all the cows, calves and cowherd boys in exactly the same way as before. When Lord Brahma described this incident to his associates on the Satyaloka planet, they all became astonished. So they became astonished, and Brahma was already astonished from before, and when he remembered this incident and started speaking about it, he became even more astonished. So the Adbhuta Rasa in the heart of Brahma became even stronger as he was narrating this pastime and his own experience to the residents of Satyaloka. Brahma told them that after taking away all the boys, he saw Krishna again playing with the same boys in the same fashion. Their bodily complexion was blackish, almost like Krishna's, and they all had four arms. The same calves and cows were still present there in the same original fashion. Even while describing this incident, Brahma became almost overwhelmed. And the most astonishing thing, he added, was that many other Brahmas from many other universes had also come there to worship Krishna and his associates. This is an interesting point, which is perhaps not so clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is that when Brahma saw this, saw these cowherd boys who were actually expansions of Krishna manifesting their four-armed form, many other Brahmas from the other universes also came there at that same time. So this is what he is explaining here to the residents of Satyaloka. So this is an example of, again, although sometimes Prabhupada uses the word directly and indirectly a little interchangeably. So these are examples of how the Adbhuta Rasa, the mellow of the perceiving, the being astonished at the superhuman activities of Krishna, can be evoked in one's heart by seeing, by hearing, and by speaking about them. So this is Sakshat Adbhuta Rasa. Then there is the rasa of astonishment that is evoked in the heart of the devotee by inference, not by directly observing or perceiving, but by inferring, by guessing. And that is called anumita. Anumita means to infer, anuman. You all heard of this, right? Anuman pramana, pratyaksha pramana, shabda pramana. So anuman means inference. So anumita means, anumita adbhuta rasa means that adbhuta rasa which has come about by inference, by guessing. And the example, the pastime that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions is about Krishna extinguishing the forest fire in Bhandirvan. One of the forests, of the main forests of Vrajabhumi, of Vrajamandala, is Bhandiravan. Many, many wonderful pastimes of Krishna took place in Bhandirvan. So one time in Bhandirvan, let us hear this from Srila Prabhupada's words himself. Similarly, when there was a forest fire in the Bhandirvan, Krishna instructed his friends to close their eyes tightly, and they all did this. Then when Krishna had extinguished the fire, the cowherd boys opened their eyes and saw that they had been relieved from the danger and that their cows and calves were all safe. They began to perceive the wonder of the situation simply by guessing how Krishna had saved them. This is another instance of indirect perception causing astonishment in devotional service. So here, Krishna asked the cowherd boys to close their eyes. So he performs a miraculous activity and extinguished the forest fire in Bhandirvan. Now Krishna extinguished the forest fire on two occasions. So there are two such pastimes which took place at different times. So one of those is being described here. So the cowherd boys didn't actually see Krishna extinguishing the fire, but they could infer it, and it was quite natural and logical. At one instant, they saw the fire was blazing all around them, threatening to burn them up and their cows and calves as well. And a few moments later, when they opened the eyes after closing them, they saw that the fire had been extinguished. So this was something most extraordinary and superhuman. So they could conclude correctly, they could infer that it was Krishna who had done this wonderful act. And because of that, the sense of Adbhuta Rasa, the sense of wonder and astonishment was brought about in their hearts, in the hearts of the cowherd boys. So this deepened their Sakya Rasa even more. Arjuna was in Sakya Rasa, but his Sakya Rasa, the sweetness of that, got diminished when he saw Krishna displaying the universal form. But here, when the Sakhas, the cowherd boys, saw Krishna or inferred Krishna extinguishing the forest fire, the feeling of awe and reverence did not come in their minds. In fact, they felt a surge of greater, intimate, sweet, friendly love for Krishna. The sweetness of the love was further enhanced, not diminished. And then finally, Rupa Goswami concludes this section with an interesting point. And I'll read that last paragraph that Srila Prabhupada says here. The activities of a person, even if they're not very extraordinary, create an impression of wonder in the heart and mind of the person's friends. But even very wonderful activities performed by a person who is not one's friend will not create any impression. It is because of love that one's wonderful activities create an impression in the mind. So, very important point. Where there is love, where you love somebody, if that person does even something that is a little extraordinary, then it evokes such a sense of wonder in our heart. But if you don't love somebody, if you don't care for somebody, even if that person does something extraordinary, it doesn't evoke that sense of wonder so much in the heart. Let's give a simple example. In the homes of most grihasthas, at some point or the other, there are little children. So when the children are babies, they're growing up and they speak in their own charming way, and they perform some little activity, like they start speaking or they lift something or do something that is a little extraordinary even. Then everybody in the family talks about it for days and days, and they're astonished and everything. But there are other children in other parts of the world at that age who do something perhaps much more extraordinary. There may be children of that age who may remember, let's say, thousands of verses. Okay, so we may say, yeah, it's okay, it's very nice, how does they do it? But that sense of wonder doesn't come because we don't have that affection to that degree towards that unknown child than we have towards our own child. So this is an example. Or if somebody known to you, let's say, were to perform some yogic act of levitating, rising, then you would be struck with wonder. But there are so many other yogis who may do the same thing, and it may not create such an impression in your mind. So the difference is love. When there is love, even a slight display of extraordinary power creates a sense of astonishment and adbhuta rasa. But where there is no love, even a greater degree of display of extraordinary power does not create that sense of astonishment within. And that is why we see that non-devotees are not attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. They don't consider the pastimes of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill to be something very special. They may dismiss it as mythology or something like that. But for devotees, they like to hear about this pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill again and again and again. And each time they hear it, their sense of wonder, the adbhuta rasa, is evoked in the heart, and it helps them to develop a deeper and sweeter relationship with Krishna. So Srila Rupa Goswami has made the point here that all these rasas, essentially, they are nourished and they strengthen also in turn the prema, the love, the bhakti that the devotee has for Krishna. So it is only when there is a certain degree of love that these rasas can be really relished. And the greater the degree of love, the more these things are relished. And because the love of the Brajabasis is super excellent, unparalleled, incomparable, therefore, when the Brajabasis experience Adbhuta Rasa or any other rasa, that experience is also unparalleled. So in this way, Rupa Goswami concludes discussion on the second Gauna Rasa, which is the second secondary rasa, that is the Adbhuta Rasa, the rasa of astonishment and wonder. So I think we'll stop here. I hope that hearing of these pastimes of Krishna has given you some inspiration to continue further in your Krishna consciousness, and that if at all you were feeling any sense of anxiety or fear or frustration at being at the whole situation nowadays around us, that negativity may have, at least to some degree, got dissipated from your heart. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.